Good morning, good morning. It's time now for our Community Connection right here on K1, the one you trust. And on the telephone with me is Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin, Jr. Chief, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tom. Good to hear your voice. Good to be back.
Hey, I understand that a lot has been going on in the nation as far as getting the vaccine for COVID-19 into the arms of so many of the tribe.
That's right. You know, we're a part of this latest and I think greatest phase in our fight against COVID. The vaccine is being distributed all across the country and across the state. We're doing our part for our citizens. And so I think it's gone well so far. This week, Tom, we will hit 10,000 doses of the vaccine. We will administer 10,000 doses of the vaccine. That puts us really on track of where we want to be, in fact, a little bit ahead. So I'm pleased with the rollout so far.
Very good. A lot of things have been taking place. A lot of people, of course, had to coordinate. And I know that sometimes with our older citizens, as it is just about anywhere in the world, technology sometimes can kind of be a little confusing. But I understand that a lot of really big steps have been taken to make sure that our elders have gotten all the information that they need.
That's right. And so one of the challenges for healthcare authorities around the country and around the world is how do you communicate to patients when it is their turn to take the vaccine and information about the vaccine? You know, there's anxieties out there, of course, and of course, facts and information help resolve that. But just the mechanics of getting in touch with our patients is something that we're equipped to do. And so we have the largest healthcare system for Native Americans in the country. So what we did is we reached out to them, to the elders. So as we began phasing in the vaccines in December, we started just making phone calls with our staff to the initial group, which were healthcare workers that made it easy, but then also a group of elders that are very revered, and that's our fluent Cherokee language speakers. They were at the front of the line as well. We have administered vaccines to about 1,000 of those fluent speakers. Of course, you've got to sometimes use Cherokee speakers to talk to Cherokee speakers. So we have a great translation department that helped out our health staff. Great to see those two teaming up to take care of really some very precious elders. And then from there, of course, we have a bigger population as we go through the broader phases. And so we start to use automated calls that will call and say, hey, it's your turn to take the vaccine. Here's information. We also set up a phone number for people to call. In fact, I'll give it now, Tom. It's 539-234-4098. That is the number to Cherokee Nation Health System that people can call, Cherokee citizens can call when it is their time. Of course, we announced that. So getting the word out, particularly to the elder population that may not be as connected to social media as some of the other citizens are, it's been a challenge, but so far, so good.
And speaking of connectivity, I understand that Cherokee Nation is working on a plan and has been for some time now to make sure that people are connected, technology and otherwise. How is this new rollout coming along?
You know, it's going well. We'll have some exciting announcements soon. We knew that there were parts of our reservation, parts of the 14 counties. And of course, everybody knows there's parts where it's difficult to get connected. If you live in one of those areas, particularly if you're a kid that you're trying to get, you know, what you need for school, it's really challenging. It's not like the inconvenience, Tom, that you and I might have when we're driving through an area and we say, oh, we've got no cell signal, got no Wi-Fi. Living in these areas every day is challenging. Of course, it's not just students. It's really how you connect with life these days. You know, you and I just got done talking about the vaccine and how important communicating is. Well, Wi-Fi is the way people communicate now, broadband, that sort of thing. So we're going to roll out, this is really an early phase of what we hope is an initiative that cures this problem, because I just think we live in a day and age, Tom, where the country, the state, Cherokee Nation ought to be able to somehow team up and solve this problem for all the people. But what we're going to do initially is we're going to set up some hotspots in areas where connectivity is an issue. We're going to be going to the Washington County area. In fact, the local council lady, Dora Patskowski, said, hey, don't forget us up in Washington County. And I said, council lady, we never will. So that's why we're going to Oshaleda and Ramona Oshaleta, we have a community center there and a health center. And then Ramona, we have the casino. So we're going to set up some Wi-Fi hotspots where people can pull up and use the internet. And again, you and I might take it for granted, Tom. We probably have access all the time. But for some people, access is something they don't take for granted. So we're starting with that all over the 14 counties. We're going to go for there. We're working with the FCC to try to get some broadband frequency, access to frequency, so we can hopefully deploy it across parts of the reservation that need it. We just need kind of an all-of-the-above solution, but this is the first stage, and we'll be making a bigger announcement on that soon.
Okay, can't wait. A lot of things going on. I know that the courtrooms have been kind of busy as we're sorting out this McGirt situation, the thing that the U.S. Supreme Court handed down. And how is that working out? I know that a lot of cross-deputization has been taking place, and that's been going on for a while anyway. But things have been coming a little bit more to the forefront. People are understanding, I guess, a little bit more about this. But how's it working out on the Cherokee end?
Well, it's going to be one of the great challenges of not just 2021, but the years to come. But so far, we're working well with the state and with local prosecutors and police departments. And just to remind listeners, McGirt is this groundbreaking case from the summer of last year, which said that the Creek Reservation was still intact, had never been disestablished, in other words, had never been terminated. That same legal theory applies to the other four of the five tribes, which includes the Cherokee Nation. So that means that our criminal jurisdiction is very broad. We're actually now waiting on a court decision to apply McGirt to the Cherokee Nation, not to get too technical on us here, Tom, but that has given us a little more time to prepare. What have we done with that time? Well, we've started to increase our communication with, again, local prosecutors, police, the state attorneys, general office, our members of Congress, in case Congress tries to make a move concerning the reservation status. Most important thing to me, Tom, is that everybody have a great sense of public safety, that no matter where you are or who you are, you feel like you have a blanket of protection, that if you're a victim of a crime, you'll be respected and taken care of. And if you're a defendant in a criminal case, you will be brought to justice, but it'll be a fair system, and we can provide that. The other thing we've done is we put $10 million into our criminal justice system. I like to tell people, Tom, that the state of Oklahoma had 113 years to build up a criminal justice system. We have a few months to put that together because the cases are coming down. But we can do it. We have the resources to do it. And I think in the coming months and years, you'll see a stronger presence of Cherokee Nation's Marshal Service. You'll see, in fact, courtrooms in different parts of the Cherokee Nation that you hadn't seen before, which we've really only seen those in Tahlequah. All to meet that goal of public safety, of a sense of protection, of a sense of fairness in the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take cooperation, and Tom, it's going to take money. But we're putting those dollars into action as we speak.
Mm-hmm. You know, also, you were talking about the fluent speakers just a little bit ago when it came to COVID-19, but you've got a beautiful center. That's a beautiful undertaking there to keep that language alive with our fluent speakers and also to learn more and teach more. Can you tell us how that's coming along?
Yeah, it's called the Durban Language Durban Feeling Language Center, rather. Mm-hmm. Durban Feeling was the great Cherokee speaker and teacher and researcher, the greatest Cherokee speaker in terms of what he did for the language since Sequoia in the 19th century. So Durban Feeling passed away this last summer. Mm-hmm. We are dedicating a facility in Tahlequah. It's actually our old casino, but we're almost doubling it in size in his name and to preserve the language. Tom, saving the Cherokee language is the greatest challenge of this generation of Cherokees. And if we don't do it, if we fail in this mission, then we will have failed generations to come in terms of whether the language is still alive. But I'm committed, and many others are, to keep the language alive. In Durban Feeling's name, we're going to create this great facility. But more important than that, have some great men and women inside that facility working every day, committing their lives to teaching a new generation of Cherokees to speak the language. And we have to do it, Tom, because no matter who you are, no matter where you are across history, language is so much a part of who a people are, what identifies a people, what makes them unique. We have to keep that for the Cherokee people. We're putting millions of dollars into that effort.
All right, good. Other things going on with the Cherokee Nation that historically, about this time, what was it last year, we were talking about putting things on historical registries and whatnot. And I know that COVID has complicated things a little bit there. Are we making any progress?
Tom, that seems like a lifetime ago.
It does, doesn't it?
but very important topic. So historic preservation, kind of along with the language, is a real important effort that we're undertaking. We've done that. We have the first list of historic sites, and some of them are in good shape, some of them in not so good shape. But we are, now that we've cataloged them, we can prioritize the dollars we need to put in to preserve them. We're making some efforts right now to do that across the reservation. One thing, and I know you visited Tahlequah a number of times, mm-hmm. Tom, and you enjoy the history and the culture. The Cherokee Heritage Center, which if a person doesn't go out to these actual historic sites but wants to learn about them, one of the places you could always go was the Cherokee Heritage Center in Tahlequah. We have taken over that facility. It was owned by a nonprofit that did a wonderful job since the 1960s. We've taken over it. We purchased it. A lot of people think we always owned it. We're going to make that eventually a state-of-the-art museum and research center. So, Tom, there's an example of what we're doing for historic preservation, whether it's out in the communities where there's a historic site that people may have driven by a dozen times and didn't know it was a Cherokee site, or a great museum and research center like the Heritage Center. So stay tuned for more information about the Heritage Center. It's been around for decades, and we're mm-hmm. going to keep it around for generations more by, again, investing those dollars into it, because, Tom, we got to learn our history. We got to know where we came from.
Indeed. One of the places I like is the old courthouse, the museum that you have right there in downtown Tahlequah, and the story begins as you walk in, and it is really incredible. The folks there downtown, boy, they really put on a nice show, and you can take your time when you can take advantage of it and really soak up a lot of that history.
Yeah, that's right. That's our flagship museum, mm-hmm. The Cherokee Nation Museum of History. It's the original Capitol building of the Cherokee Nation mm-hmm. After we were removed, but before statehood. The building itself is historic. In fact, that historic registry we were chatting about, Tom, that building is on there, the Cherokee Nation Historic Registry. But inside, as you point out, is a wonderful experience. I'd encourage people to go there, and if you can't get to Tahlequah right away, because travel's a little iffy nowadays with COVID, visit Cherokee.com is a great site where you can check out all these things we just talked about, these historic sites and the museum. So I think I'm a history buff myself, and I think having places like that where people can go and learn is what we ought to do, because we've got a great story to tell, Tom.
Indeed. We've been talking with the Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr. Chief, if you could hold on the line here just a moment. I got someone wants to say howdy to you, but I appreciate you being with us today on Community Connection.
Thank you, Tom.
Mm-hmm. And all righty.